This is Success Journal Podcast number 14. I'm Chris Whitting. Coming up on this episode, are you feeling stuck in your personal or professional life? We'll share ways you can get unstuck and take control of all areas of your life. Then, a conversation with millionaire consultant Alan Weiss, who has wealth advice you won't hear anywhere else.
Let's face it, everybody carries baggage around. You can't just drop the baggage on the train. It's still there with you traveling at the same speed. You have to throw the baggage off the train. You know, you need to risk killing a cow in the countryside, but you need to throw the baggage off the train.
And a college professor dreams up a secret code. Now it's used billions of times a day worldwide. Plus, teenagers with startups are making millions. Mega entrepreneur Mark Victor Hansen reveals what it takes to make it happen.
Oh, please show us how to be an entrepreneur. And I said, this is my pleasure, because an entrepreneur is somebody who takes low value, he or she, and takes it to high value for themselves, the marketplace. It eventuates into a fortune.
Success Journal starts right now. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/successjournal. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Success Journal Podcast. Informative advice from leading experts. Helpful, practical tips to enhance your career, your income, and your personal freedom. The Success Journal Podcast with Chris Whitting.
Hello and welcome, and we're already up to podcast 14 and growing fast. Lots of new listeners every week. I'm always fascinated to learn how people discover us. All sorts of different ways, I guess. Somebody recommends us to a friend, or they hear a mention of us on the radio, or whatever. Well, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to hear how you found us. Or if you have a question or a comment, or you just want to say hi, we welcome your emails anytime. And the address is easy to remember, successjournal@gmx.com. That's successjournal@gmx.com. And we promise to answer every email we get. Well, first up this week, research shows there are a lot of unhappy people today because they feel stuck in life, either professionally or personally. Often, it's a side effect of living in the 21st century. Not so long ago, people didn't have time to feel stuck because they were busy trying to survive. Today, we have so many options, which makes us feel we're missing out on something because we're stuck in the life we're living. Anneli Rufus, author of the book Stuck, has researched this and says if you're feeling stuck, understand it's due to choices that you've made. And the best way to get unstuck is just to do something different. Anything. Even if you fail at it, new choices. That's the only way to stop feeling stuck and get back in control of your life. Well, next up, a real million-dollar maverick who has real-life advice on creating wealth. But first, a 60-second Success Journal story of a man who dreams up a secret code and finds the secret to success. As a kid, Norm thought secret codes were pretty cool. As an adult, he learned the dots and dashes of Morse code and ended up teaching it. While Morse code is usually transmitted by hand, Norm Woodland wondered why it couldn't be automated. So, with a student named Bernie Silver, they turned dots and dashes into a system of thin and thick lines, making it easy for an electronic device to read. Was their idea a hit? Well, today, nearly every product on the face of the earth includes their clever creation. Universal product codes, better known as UPC barcodes, are scanned 5 billion times a day worldwide. There's no secret about the fortune it made Norm and Bernie. Barcodes brought them success in black and white. There's a lot of information out there on how to succeed as an entrepreneur. There are countless numbers of books. But best-selling author Alan Weiss has a different take on it and has some great advice for us. His book is Million Dollar Maverick, Forge Your Own Path to Think Differently, Act Decisively, and Succeed Quickly. Alan, before we get into some of your advice for our listeners, tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, I was with a variety of consulting firms, came up to be president of a consulting firm in Providence. I'm a Jersey guy. And I was fired after a year and a half by the owner. And I said to my wife, I'm never going to work for anybody again. And she said, fine, don't forget the mortgage, but you better get serious. And so I did. And I worked with Fortune 500 companies primarily for 10 years, wrote three books. And then my fourth book was Million Dollar Consulting, which has been on the shelves for 25 years through five editions. It's in five or six languages. And now, for the last 10 years, I've specialized in helping other consultants to reach their full potential. So that's the story in a nutshell.
You talk about four levels of success: survive, alive, arrive, and thrive. Can we just talk about those? So maybe you could just walk us through those.
Sure. I call these my watertight doors. And what happens is the first level is survive. In other words, we start a practice, we change jobs, we forge a new career, and we've got to put bread on the table. So we'll take any kind of relevant good business and sometimes even bad business, and we want to pay the bills. And that's legit and makes sense. But if we're successful doing that, we come to the next level, which is arrive, and that means that people now know of us. We have some money in the bank. We have some discretionary time. We're a little bit more discriminating in the kind of business and we take on, the kinds of friends we deal with, and so forth. The third level, as you've described, is alive, and that means we've really come into our potential, and now people seek us out. Our brand is building. We've got discretionary time, discretionary funds. And then finally, we hit thrive, which is impressing ourselves upon the world. In other words, instead of searching for meaning, we're creating meaning. We become thought leaders. Now, the thing is that each of these levels has this watertight door, and if you don't seal it, your mentality slips back to the prior level, sometimes all the way to survive. Another way to look at this is going from a poverty mentality to an abundance mentality. So we see people who are doing quite well otherwise who won't pick up a check. We see people who won't make an impulse purchase. We see people who refuse to take time off from work. A poverty mentality kills people. An abundance mentality is what really propels them forward.
So how do you create that watertight door as you progress through these levels?
Well, that's a great question. And the key is to seal the doors. The doors are there. We have to seal them so that they, in fact, are watertight. And the way we do this is we have to make changes. And so we have to make changes in some of our friends. We have to make changes in some of our colleagues. We have to make changes in our interests and what we attend and where we go and our memberships. We have to make changes in our belief system and in our mindset. You know, the stereotypical example is when someone's promoted in an organization, their former peers are now subordinates and their former superiors are now peers. You have to change your mindset and your behaviors to accommodate that. You can't keep hanging out with the old crowd. You've got to get comfortable with the new crowd. Similarly, if you're a solo practitioner, if you're a professional services provider, you have to assert yourself as a peer of your buyer, not a vendor. And so you have to make those kinds of changes, which will seal those doors for good.
Alan, what advice is in your book that isn't in other books about making millions of dollars? Because there are a lot of other books, and I've interviewed many of those people. What sets your book apart?
That's a very good question, because I've written 48 original books and 67, if you count foreign language and multiple editions and so forth. What's in this book is the difference between being part of the herd and being on your own. And that's where Maverick comes from. You know, Maverick originates with a Texas engineer who had cattle and refused to brand them. And his name was Maverick. And so since they had no brand, you know, double bar or things like that, other ranchers called them Mavericks because they belong to this guy Maverick. And a Maverick is somebody that does things differently. And so if you picture the herd in the valley, the Maverick is up on the mountain looking down on it. And so the advice in this book that's very unique is not just how to get away from the crowd, but how to look good when you're standing there. You know, it does no good to stand out in the crowd if you don't look good. And so how do you break out from the crowd, still maintain a support system, still maintain relationships, but you're not dragged along with normative pressure? Because today, given the internet and media and all kinds of peer pressures, the normative pressure on us to conform is stronger than it's ever been.
Alan, one of the things you talk about is the difference between chasing money and attracting money. Talk about that.
Yeah, I love this one because, you know, when most people have to spend money, They say, well, where can I take it from? Should I take it from my bank account, or should I borrow it, or should I take out of my retirement funds? And my feeling is, you don't think about take, you think about make. So if you need $30,000, you say to yourself, how can I make $35,000? And that's the beauty of being a maverick. You're not prohibited from doing that by anyone. And so chasing money means that you'll take any money because it's there. And again, it goes back to your watertight doors. It's a survival mentality. But attracting money means you have such a strong brand, you're such an object of interest, you're such a thought leader, that people want to come to you. And the big difference is this. When you're chasing money, you're knocking on doors saying, use my help. And the person behind the door is saying, why should I? When you're attracting money, people come to your door and say, how can we work together? And in those conditions, there's no credibility issue and there's no fee issue. People will pay whatever it takes.
This happens to so many would-be entrepreneurs being, as you say, shocked into immobility by abject fears. Talk about overcoming fears. How do you get around that?
Well, when people are fearful, you know, there are three possibilities. Most psychologists talk about fight or flight, but I add fright. Flight is smart if somebody's, you know, got a gun or a tornado is approaching. I mean, there are conditions when that makes sense. But to be scared, just to be scared, doesn't make sense. And so the way you overcome it is this. You have to find the cause of your fears. In other words, you can't remove a fear without knowing its cause. And so if you're afraid to speak publicly, if you're afraid of heights, if you're afraid of confronting someone, you're afraid of conflict, you ask yourself, why is that? And almost always, 90% of the time, it's ego-related. It's because you fear failure. It's because you fear being mocked. It's because you fear being ostracized. And the fact of the matter is, that's not true. People are not out to get you. If you just take public speaking, an audience of 100 people does not show up hoping to see a failure. They don't want to go home, if they're mentally healthy, saying, well, I wasted an hour or two this morning watching somebody crash and burn. It was great. They want to go home saying, I watched a great speaker this morning, and I got some things I can use in my life and on my job. And so we have to change our thinking, and we have to hide our egos, tuck them away. Most people have their egos on the front of the ship, on the bow of the ship, like a figurehead. It gets battered by wind, battered by waves. Tuck your ego away. It's not relevant.
We're talking with Alan Weiss, author of Million Dollar Maverick. Alan, we've been talking a lot in generalities, and I'm wondering if, from your experience, you could share some examples of how you took a contrary view that led you to success.
Sure. Let me give you two examples, if I may. The first was early in my career when I was on the survival level, and I had been fired, and I said to myself, there are 400,000 consultants in the United States. At the time, it was basically true, 200,000 real consultants and 200,000 people between jobs trying to consult. And I said, how am I going to stand out in a crowd? It's just me. I have no staff. I have no brand. And I decided that the only way to do that was to fly against conventional wisdom. And at the time, quality was a big thing. Quality circles, quality teams, quality this, quality that. So I wrote an article for a magazine in Boston saying why quality doesn't work. Because I've always felt that it's about success and not perfection. You know, perfection ruins excellence. So I wrote this article, and the response was horrible. I mean, think of the old Frankenstein movies. The villagers are moving up the mountain with pitchforks and torches. And they wrote all kinds of letters to the editor, and I actually called the publisher and apologized. And he says to me, listen, I'll give you $50 a month if you write a column monthly. And I said, they hated it. And he said, they read it. Mm. And I became the contrarian. And I wrote this column called Revolutions for 6 years, 72 columns, until a magazine was purchased by a competitor. And I would say leadership doesn't start at the top or the bottom. It starts in the middle. You know, I would say attrition is good. You need to lose certain people. Fire some of your clients. So I took this contrarian attitude. And boy, did I stand out. And my business took off. Now, here's a more contemporary example, which I think a lot of your listeners will love. I would sit down with a prospect in a large organization, be in a huge office, and this person's probably making $2 or $3 million a year, and they're my prospective buyer. And some of them would open the conversation this way. Listen, Alan, I'm seeing you as a courtesy, but I want you to know our company has never, ever hired an outside consultant, and I don't intend to break that precedent. And I would say to them, you know, it's funny how many of my best clients today started the conversation in exactly that way. And so I took what he thought was the frame, which is we don't hire consultants, and I introduced a brand new frame, which is, guess what? You're just like my best clients. And that kind of reversal of the conversation is what helps you to stand out in any crowd.
You are a very successful consultant, and you've obviously written a lot of books about it. You teach people, you speak about that. Is consulting a job that just about anyone can do if they have some knowledge in a specific area?
Well, I'll tell you, I've written more books on consulting than anyone in history, so I speak from a certain knowledge base here. No, not anyone can be a consultant. And in fact, consulting isn't a job, it's a calling. And if you are passionate about helping people, and you love doing this, and you're good at it, you'll be a successful consultant. But the key thing is this. Here's the specific. Consulting is all about marketing. In other words, no matter how good you are, you will not be hired if people don't know you're there. And so to really succeed in consulting, you have to be very adept at marketing. I call it shameless promotion. Not arrogance, but you have to be willing to help yourself. And here's why. People get up with one of two mentalities. You either get up saying, oh God, I got to make sales today to pay the mortgage, or you get up saying, I have tremendous value to give to people. I can't wait to do it. If your mindset is that latter one, you'll be successful.
Is that something you can develop in yourself?
It's something you can develop, but you usually need outside help. You know, it's why I coach so many consultants all over the world. It's because it's tough to break a lifetime of habit, which is be humble, don't say too much about yourself, wait for people to ask you questions. You have to change that if you really want to be of help to people. You know, they tell you in every airline, put your own oxygen mask on first before you attempt to help others. Because if you die, you can't help anybody. The same thing here. You have to help yourself if you're going to help other people.
This is all great advice, but a lot of what you are talking about is undoing behaviors that are sort of ingrained in people. Why do people get these unsuccessful behaviors going in the first place?
Well, people take the course of least resistance and they fall into ruts. You know, let's face it, everybody carries baggage around. You can't just drop the baggage on the train. It's still there with you traveling at the same speed. You have to throw the baggage off the train. You know, you need to risk killing a cow in the countryside, but you need to throw the baggage off the train. And the fact is we all need baggage, but we need to pack it ourselves. But most of the baggage people are carrying around, the ruts, what you're talking about, these bad habits, is because their parents told them something 20 or 30 years ago, or their peers are telling them something that's completely wrong. They're going into professions that they're urged to go into. Hell, everybody told me I should be a lawyer, and I killed the law boards or the SATs, whatever they are, and I got a full scholarship to law school. Thank God I didn't go. So you have to be able to set your own course. But a lot of times you need help, as you say, to undo what's become ingrained in you.
You say we need a self-esteem workout program on a regular basis, similar to a physical workout. What is a self-esteem workout program?
Self-esteem is a muscle, just like a physical muscle. You got to work it out every day. You know, it's a verb, it's an action that leads to self-confidence, which is a condition. So the workout program looks like this. You have to use positive language. So, for example, if you don't make a sale, you don't say, I'm a lousy marketer. You say, I didn't make that sale today to this person. You isolate it. If you do make the sale, you say, I'm a great marketer. You generalize success, you isolate non-success. And by the way, it's a great technique with your kids, because if your kid makes an error, you don't say, God, you're awkward out there. You say, that was a tough kick, no one could have made it. If your kid does make the kick correctly, you don't say, that was a great kick. You say, you're a heck of an athlete. The same thing on a test. You don't say, hey, you did well on the test. You say, you're a scholar. So that's number one, the way you talk to yourself, self-talk. This positive psychology has been in vogue now for at least 10 years. The second thing is, at the beginning and end of every day, you have to talk to yourself for 30 seconds, 60 seconds. What I advise people is when you go to bed at night, give yourself 30 seconds of what you've done well that day. You've done something well. Don't dwell on the bad stuff. Don't dwell on setbacks. But tell yourself you dealt with a client well, you dealt with your family well, you successfully cleaned out the garage, which you had planned to do, whatever it is, no matter how minor, what happened that you did well, and implant that before you go to sleep. And then when you get up in the morning, take 30 or 60 seconds to tell yourself, here's what I'm going to do today successfully. And these aren't just blind affirmations. These really help get your mindset in the right condition. You know, you get up in the morning, and if you say, geez, another long, slow crawl through enemy territory, that's not going to be a very good day. But if you get up in the morning and say, God, I can't wait. You know, it's like my dogs. I put them out every morning into the yard. It's the same yard, but they both go out there, you know, saying to each other, look, the yard. You need that kind of excitement.
Alan, as we reach the end of our time together here, do you have any last words of advice for our listeners?
I do. You can't be isolated. you need help. You need to join communities. You need to be a part of a mastermind group or to get a coach or to somehow engage. But here is the big caveat. When you get a ski instructor, and by the way, you don't learn to ski by reading a book. You learn by watching and practicing with someone. When you get a ski instructor, you want that person 6 yards ahead of you on the slopes doing what you want to do, showing you how to bend the knee, showing you how to traverse. You don't want somebody sitting in the lodge with a brandy telling you, when you go up on the mountain, try this. And so get a coach who's been there and done that to help you. Work with people who have been there and done that where you want to be. And if they've done it, they'll help you get there. And the more you help them, the more you'll learn yourself.
The book is Million Dollar Maverick, Forge Your Own Path to Think Differently, Act Decisively, and Succeed Quickly. The author is Alan Weiss, and you can learn more at his website, alanweiss.com. Alan, thanks so much for joining us. This was great.
My pleasure. Great questions. Thank you.
Still ahead on the Success Journal podcast, we talk to mega entrepreneur Mark Victor Hansen, and a man creates a product for barbers and gets a big cut of the profits. For you, the listeners of the Success Journal podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. And there's a great book I want to recommend wholeheartedly to you. It could easily be called life-changing, yet it's been around for decades. And when I tell you it was written by Dale Carnegie, you'll probably assume I'm talking about How to Win Friends and Influence People. No, that is not it. The book I think is much more powerful is titled How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie. It is old school, but it is packed with brilliant, time-tested advice that's going to hit you right between the ears. And the audiobook is unabridged, narrated by the late, great Andrew McMillan. And you can get the audiobook, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, or any other book you want, absolutely free. Just go to audibletrial.com/successjournal. That's audibletrial.com/successjournal. We've all heard the expression, it's so easy a kid could do it. Well, how about starting a company and becoming a millionaire? These days, kids are easily doing that too. And here to share some of those stories is mega entrepreneur and author of The Richest Kids in America, Mark Victor Hansen. Mark, we don't recall hearing about self-made teenage millionaires in the past. Is there something special about today's young people that makes them different?
I think so. I got to talk at Brown University, and all the kids there are some of the smartest in the planet, and they hired me to come out at graduation because, you know, they all applied to General Foods, General Mills, General Motors, and they generally weren't wanted. And they said, oh, please show us how to be an entrepreneur. And I said, this is my pleasure, because an entrepreneur is somebody who takes low value, he or she, and takes it to high value for themselves, the marketplace, the future, and then it eventuates into a fortune. Nathan Wynn, you know, the first year at USC, he had to keep a 3.8, and he made $1.7 million, and then $3.6 million, and then $5 million gross, selling guitars on the internet. And I said, holy cow, we have America, 300 million people, 60 million of them are kids, 20% under 18. What if I could turn on that workforce, and they go out and create wondrous new businesses that rock forward, and it's working for adults and kids right now at levels I can't even believe.
In the case of the kids, is this something where the parents have to get behind the effort and bankroll them a little, or do some of these kids just do it on their own?
Every one of these kids got curious, got creative, and created cash out of nothing, and they self-funded it by just selling themselves forward one way or another. Like one of them, Olivia Bennett, at age 5, had chemotherapy for her leukemia. Mm. All her hands gnarled up. They wouldn't move. The PT, the physical therapist, put a paintbrush in her hand. She started painting like Georgia O'Keeffe. Some lady came over to a scrapbook and me and said, who did all this beautiful artwork? Olivia sheepishly raised her hand and said, well, what were you charging for a piece of it? And said, $50? Is that too much? And now she's getting $20,000 a canvas and sold 500 canvases at that rate. And she's 17 years old, beautiful blonde, and this made her well. It healed her in addition to made her about $10 million last year. So, and that's what America needs. We need more entrepreneurship, which is every one of these kids is passionate beyond belief.
Our guest is Mark Victor Hansen, and he's author of The Richest Kids in America, How They Earn It, How They Spend It, How You Can Too. One of the things that's kind of cool about your book is you very gently kind of work a person through a business plan. In other words, you list the people that could help you or where you're going to be in 2 years. So it's the sort of things that a business plan would do, but it's in a very interactive, easy way. It's non-threatening, I guess, is the way I'd put it.
Yeah, what's the idea that you want to do? What's the strategic plan? What does your business plan look like? What's your financial plan, your marketing plan, your brand that's going to command? How are you going to expand it? And then, you know, when Allison Ames wrote down how she was going to exit her business, and I went, oh, no kid knows how to do that. And then what philanthropy they're going to do and how she's going to build a network and who she wants are an advisory board. What I'm telling you is it doesn't take prodigies. Most of these kids are just ordinary kids that are enthusiastic, that are sold on what they're going to do, and they just scrap themselves forward and they just focused on the idea. That is one of the more noble professions in the planet.
One of the commonisms, it seems, in all these kids is they want to give back to the community. Why is that seen in these people, and what's that all about?
Well, I think that's what makes it work, is that I teach a triangle. You got to learn, then you got to earn, then you got to return. And before I ever got with any of these kids, because my 10th question always was, you know, are you giving back? And to a man and woman here, and they're young kids, actually, but, you know, whether it's Cameron Johnson or whomever, the kid is now, he's got 27 businesses going, one of which does $10 million a year, where he takes everybody's Christmas cards, you know, from like Best Buy or Nordstrom's, mm-hmm. and say it's worth $100, he gives them $80 for it, and then he refinances it and takes $10, and somebody else buys the card at a 10% discount. It's amazing that these kids have thought through businesses that I never would have thought about. I mean, wow. Is this cool or is this cool?
Is one of the factors here when you analyze this that maybe these kids don't know their own limitations? In other words, adults might think, oh, I could never do that. You know, I don't have that skill set, or they wouldn't believe in me. But a kid just accepts, you know, hey, I can do anything. Nobody's told me I can't. Is that part of the factor here?
Exactly. And I think that we need people to become no limit, fully functioning, self-actualizing. The word act, that you got to take action. And these kids don't take a little action. They take massive action. And to a kid, these kids are passionately alive. They bring their friends with them. They have more fun. They've all got a good sense of humor. And like even the 9-year-old who did Pencil Bugs, Jason O'Neill, he stands up with a level of supreme self-confidence. And it's just because the kids are out there, they're doing it. They know who they are. You know, you can't ride on your parents' strength or self-esteem. You got to go build it yourself. And each one of these kids has done it. So they're willing to answer questions, and their answers are beautiful and profound and simple and helpful and illuminating all at once. I hope I didn't overstate that too much.
Mark, for somebody who's listening right now who's maybe a teen, obviously they can pick up your book and they should, but what advice would you have for them to go for it and to follow their dream?
Well, number one, they got to figure out what they want. And if they don't know what they want, which is where most people exist, they go to sleep tonight, close their outer eyes, and before they go to sleep, they say 400 times themselves, what do I really want? What do I really want? What do I really want? And tell yourself that when you wake up, you're going to do point number two, and that is write down in detail. That means you're going to have to get your little butt out of bed. The whispers of God sometimes come at 4 o'clock in the morning. They're sort of inconvenient, actually. So go over to your computer or your typewriter or your yellow pad or journal, whatever you're going to do, and write it out. So number one, figure out what you want. And you do that with a deep trance meditation where you communicate to yourself, your higher power, and say, what is it that I could really do? You know, and if you did that every night and say, what is a money-making business I can do right now? What is a money-making business? And the government doesn't really owe them a living. I mean, historically, we've never done that. So you figure out what you want. You put it in writing. And number three is you got to have a team, a dream team. And together, everyone accomplishes miracles. And, you know, there's 60 million kids under 18 in America alone. And if we could get just 10% of them, that'd be great. If we got 1% of them, this really could burst onto the scene and change America dramatically, because all these kids, like our friend who does guitars online, Nathan Wynn, he's employing 20 adults.
Well, the book is The Richest Kids in America, How They Earn It, How They Spend It, How You Can Too. Mark Victor Hansen, our guest. You can visit his website, markvictorhansen.com. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Still time for the 60-second story of a man who created a product for barbers and got a big cut of the profits. A sharp-looking guy named Maurice had a love-hate relationship with his barber. On the one hand, Maurice loved the way this particular barber cut his hair. On the other hand, Maurice would sometimes get a nasty nick when the barber would slip up. Maurice had another concern, too. He sometimes wondered just how clean the barber's comb and brush were. Then one day, he had an idea to create a cool blue disinfectant liquid for barbers. Today, just about every hairstylist uses that product. It's called Barberside. The company is now run by Maurice's son, Ben. It earns millions each year. And by the way, Maurice King got back at that goofy barber of his. Turns out the literal meaning of the name Barberside is kill the barber. Well, I've shared that story with the stylist who cuts my hair, and she really seemed to enjoy it. But I did leave out the part about Barberside meaning kill the barber. No need to antagonize somebody holding sharp metal objects right by your head. Well, next time on the Success Journal podcast, Mae McCarthy, and if you haven't heard of her, she is a multi-million dollar serial entrepreneur and angel investor, and she's going to bust some myths about what it takes to be really successful. That should be a good one. Until then, this is Chris Whitting for Success Journal, wishing you a highly successful day.